Chapter 12. Spoiler. Defy Me by Tahereh Mafi. In this chapter, we have our previous guest Selma joining us again. She will tell you all about the reasons that got her into becoming a passionate reader just like us. Oh, and of course, we're also going to talk about the sixth novel in the Shatter Me series, Defy Me, and share with you the reasons why we thought this book was a much better success than the previous one. My name is Haneen. Turn the page.
Welcome everyone to another chapter of Between the Pages. We are your hosts,
Haneen
and Nesma. Today we're here to talk about another special book of Tahereh Mafi's series, the fifth book of the series, Define Me. Yes, Define Me. Today we have a very special guest, a very close friend of ours. Introduce yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Selma. What's up? I'll be joining those beautiful ladies today on their podcast and on a very interesting topic that I think would interest you the same.
This series that we're talking about is Selma's first ever read.
It's literally what got me to start reading. Before I was introduced to this series, I would find those two girls, meet them in a library or something, and I would just look at them, and I would, with all the sarcasm I could actually use and put into words, I just look at them, arch a brow, and just tell them, are you seriously reading? You know, you could just be watching a TV series or a film, and they just look at me like so dumbfounded, as if telling me that you don't know how heaven is. You just don't know.
Now
I sure know.
Yeah, now she sure knows. And for any of you who want to know, I'm the one who got her to start
that
reading.
That is very true.
Her first series.
Yes.
And for many years after she read the series, she wouldn't read anything because it didn't live up to that.
Nothing could match up for Tahereh Mafi's Shatter Me, honestly.
That's true. It took you a very long time to find something else that you wanted to read.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I gave you the first three books of this, I only gave you the first one.
Yeah.
And then you wanted the rest immediately.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I need more.
Yes, she finished them in a week,
Books? The three books, in less than a week, I remember, which was like shocking to me because I'm a person who, I did read a book before. It was a completely different book, more serious, and I was young at the time, so reading a serious book was not the best thing to go for. So I felt like books, they're boring. But then I got introduced to this, and reading the first book, I remember it was a break where we study for finals. So instead of studying for my final that was like about a week from that vacation, I just grabbed the book and I started reading, and I remember I did nothing but read for just the whole day. And even my mom was shocked. She's like, okay, honey, you've been holding that thing in your hand. Are you okay? Because this, if you know me, I was not that type of person who would look at a book and admire it more than she admires anything, actually.
So. But your mom is a reader, right?
She is. Yeah. That's why she was like, what?
My daughter?
Yeah, she was very scared to begin with because she's like, okay, what happened? Is this my daughter? Because she knows me too well. She knows I would never grab a book and read it willingly. So she was like, is one of your friends, you know, threatening you to read this book? And what have they done to you? But anyways, when I told her it was Nisma, she actually loved Nisma 100 times more because she was like, oh, look at Nisma making my poor daughter who doesn't read turn into this word of magic and wonder.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this. I met Selma at finals and I'm like, she's different and she's talking about a book. Oh, that's what's different, she's talking about a book. We're finally on the same page here.
Literally the same
same page, literally and figuratively. Yeah, I remember it was very shocking for me that you actually read it. Like, sometimes I give people recommendations to read this book and that book, and they don't read it naturally. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they just say, oh, that sounds amazing, I would totally read that one day. It's like, and I give you the book, and I was maybe thinking you'd return it to me. It's like, hey, I tried to read it and it didn't work, but you actually fell in love with it. And that's when it truly, your passion for reading truly started.
But honestly, I think you had it in you, because Selma is one of the people who would ask us what this book is about, and she would actually be interested to listen what this book is about, any book that we were reading. You know, those people who comes to you, so what's the story, and they're not listening. Oh my God. So whatever you're saying, and you're talking about this book, it's in a way like, oh, you're so excited. And they're like, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, he did that.
Yeah, cool. And what are we having for dinner today? Yeah, no, honestly, I think what really grabbed my attention to the books you guys were reading is the enthusiasm and the sparks in your eyes when you were talking about them. I really love hearing
It's contagious.
It is. It's very contagious. And when you're talking about something that's so meaningful to you, no matter what it is, if you're talking about a pet, not just a book, or like a person you crossed and who a stranger who smiled at you, it's the way you say it, the way you put it into words, literally means a lot. So when you talk about the books you've read, especially those books, the series, the Shatter Me series, you put so much into them, into the words, you made them so meaningful. So I just had to listen, you know.
And that's the reason why we're here today
with Selma
in this podcast episode, because we're gonna discuss Defy Me.
Awesome.
Okay, who wants to start? Who wants to say their first impression about Defy Me?
Okay, can I start?
Yes, sure.
Okay, so my love for the characters, for those, the characters in this book will always remain no matter how many books are created out of the series. But the characters were not themselves really in this book. Like, I felt like, okay, why is Werner such a child? Or why is he so different? He's so emotional. It's a new side of him that I haven't expected, like, at all, in Shatter Me. In Shatter Me, he was this tough guy, this beautiful angel. You can only, you know, you can't touch, but you can only, you know he's present. But in Defy Me, he was like a completely different person. What I mean?
I think I know what you mean, because in Restore Me, the book before that, we had the problem of Werner actually opening up to Juliet. That's what made the whole mess of the whole novel, like, because he couldn't find the way to tell her the truth.
Yes.
And in Restore Me, and Defy Me now, we kind of gotten over that obstacle, you know, like, he's gotten over this issue.
It became too trivial again as the plot. Yes.
And it's like you can see the character development from the silly little boy to the guy who fell in love, to becoming a man, into like knowing how to deal with a relationship and screwing up over again and again and again. And then, like, finally in Defy Me, we get the finished product of Werner's character.
And Juliet as well. Like, I mean, in this book, we finally know them whole.
Yeah.
In the beginning, there was, even though we didn't know that there was something missing in them, we hated them for some things, like Juliet, for example. We did not hate, but
annoying.
Always thought, yes, annoying, and that she was so whiny. Okay, but now that we know the complete part of her, I think our perception changed, right?
Yeah, yes. Honestly, definitely. The thing is, in the first books, like the first part of the series, the characters had like a thick shell around them. And then it started to like slowly
crumble.
Fade away. Yeah, exactly. And now you know them as who they are, just raw and unfiltered, you know? And I came to love that. Despite the fact that it was new to me, because they weren't the same characters I grew up with. They weren't the same characters that got me into reading.
That's definitely true.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. actually seeing them develop and seeing their shell just fall and crumble like that, I loved it.
You know what? Their development, it suddenly felt to me now like adulting. Like, we adulted since we were reading the first part of
the series. That's true. That's so true.
And now they grew into themselves again. Like, yeah. We did. Like, it's been years since we read the first part. Yeah. And now we're more mature.
Yes, exactly.
That's the word. We're on the same page again, I see.
Ladies.
Yeah, I mean, another thing that, I mean, like, from an author's perspective or from a reader's perspective, both sides, Defy Me has kind of tied the knot. So Restore Me, we said in the previous episode that we were pretty unsatisfied mm-hmm. with the narrative.
Yes.
Because it felt very slow. There was no true climax.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. There was just rising action. There was no climax or falling action, so to say. And in Defy Me, we get that. You know, what yeah. was missing in the previous book. It was a build-up to something, and that something we did not receive.
Yeah, we received it in Defy Me, and Defy Me is so short compared to Restore Me. I feel like they could have been one book.
Exactly.
Jinx.
In sync. Once again. Yeah, I remember I addressed that idea. Recording Restore uh-huh. Me, that something is not... doesn't feel right.
Yes, yeah.
Something is missing. And now that we read Defy Me, we can truly see that part, that piece of the puzzle was in Defy Me. And I can tell that was the idea behind publishing them separately, because they just wanted the reader to feel like they need more, you know, like yes. to be have that huge question
mark. And the
mark.
Way they ended it, yes. Yeah. The way they ended Defy Me is actually like closing a chapter. Like
yeah.
It's not the end, but yeah, we're like, we can stop here. We yeah. can pause here. Though that does not mean we're not so crazy about Imagine Me.
Yeah, honestly, can't wait.
I literally can't wait. Okay. Now we can ask a couple of questions. Who were your favorite characters in Defy Me? Salma.
Ooh, that's a really good one, because ever since Nazira showed up, I'm like, wow, she just stole my heart, my soul, everything. From her powers, to the fact that we, like, and how we got introduced to them, to the fact that she was basically the hero of Defy Me. Everything about that woman, everything about her is just perfect. The way that she's described, the way Kenji is just so entangled with her.
I didn't like her, his fast
fascination
fast
with her.
Infatuation with her.
Yeah.
Like, it just came out of nowhere. There was no build-up whatsoever.
No. Have you girls read Shadumi, the novella?
No, I haven't.
No.
It's not like that, let me tell you.
Oh, please do. Spill the tea.
Kenji has been this person who, like, he said that in his thoughts in the book, and I really did relate with it. It was this quote about him being, he knows that he can love the shit out of somebody, and that he, yani, wait.
Sounds pretty much like Kenji.
In Shadumi, there was this quote that refutes what you think. Kenji said, I'm a big, raw, bleeding heart, and I spend my days pretending not to notice that I want more, that I need more. I know I could love the shit out of someone. I feel it in my heart, this capacity to love, to be romantic and passionate, like it's a superpower I have, a gift even, and I got no one to share it with. Everyone thinks I'm a joke. So that's exactly... you don't think he's a joke,
Kenji?
But... I mean, so, you know, he's ready. He's so ready every day, every moment of the day. But finally, he meets his mate. So
yeah.
He's already there. He doesn't want to get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, I can understand the way you describe it. But I don't know. There's just something that bothers me about... how instant it was, you know, like, it's kind of impulsive, and childish mm-hmm. in a way, because he doesn't even think. He doesn't know this person. He doesn't know who she is, what she's done, if she's even a good person. All he's done is just look at her and think she's the one. You know, without even thinking about it.
Does it even matter? I know in real life it matters, but I think it shouldn't matter. He knows what she is to him. It doesn't matter who she is or what she is or anything. I don't know. I mean, it's unrealistic and naive. It is. And he is. He is emotionally naive and, like, he's inexperienced in this field.
Very.
He's very inexperienced. Yeah.
But
although he quite knows what he's doing.
When it comes to that matter, yeah.
Next person, let's move on. We went from Nazira, Selma's favorite character in the novel.
Yeah.
To in Kenji. Okay, yeah. Hanin, who's your favorite character?
Warner, of course.
Warner.
Well,
no hesitation.
No hesitation. My favorite, usually my favorite, maybe Ollie's, I don't know.
Ollie's the messed up guy.
Is the bad boy.
With a backstory.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would ask me. If you'd asked me a year ago who my favorite character was, it would have been Kenji. Because of his sarcasm, his silliness, his way of simplifying what they were going through, you know?
And deflecting disasters.
He was like kind of the, how do you say it in English? The glue?
Yes, he was the glue. They described him as the glue.
You know, he was the glue, you know,
holding everyone together. He was putting everything and everyone together, yes.
But if you ask me now who my favorite character is, I have no idea.
Whoa.
Really?
No idea. Like Kenji, he kind of, I don't know, there's something about him that just put me off. I don't know. I'm sorry. Maybe you see his experience with Nazira as in, like, kind of, this is his moment. But for me, it was like, dude, chill.
Yeah, some moments
calm
was
down.
Like that.
And isn't it like all the characters are so intense? Warner.
I know.
And then you have Kenji.
Kenji.
Hi, I'm Kenji.
Castle, even. He's so serious, you know?
By the way, without Kenji, this novel would have not been the same.
We wouldn't have had that sense of humor. I mean, Adam. He's brooding.
I never liked Adam.
Yeah.
Never.
And
I think what you don't like about Adam is because Juliet, at the beginning, was kind of like a damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of against that?
I'm so against it.
You're not in the traditional way. I mean, Adam had his time, okay? I loved Adam at the beginning because he helped her become the person that she is now, okay?
Oh, are you sure?
He's part of the journey, you can't deny that.
Yes, okay? At least she realized what she needs in love,
he helped her. Like, you know, like young love?
He was
love?
A point of maturity. Exactly. It's a turning point.
You know, mature, like young love. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's like where the silliness comes from, where the you don't know what you're actually doing a kind of love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then when she actually found out what she truly wants in a guy, Then came Warner in the picture. And I feel like Adam, at the very beginning, was kind of my favorite character. And then met Kenji.
Yeah,
and then I met Kenji. But funnily enough, Juliet has never been my favorite character.
Same. It's never been her. Never.
She's been the protagonist of the story, and she's never grabbed my attention.
I find it very hard for me to fall in love with the protagonist of any story. I feel like they already have their fair share of attention, so why do I even need to love them? Hello. Yeah, they already got all the attention they needed. For me to love them,
That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, right. I don't think it's fair for the other characters. Like, if before Defy Me, my top favorite character was Kenji, because he was so relatable to me, because my life is a joke, as you said.
I never said that.
No, you said that Kenji's life is a joke, and my life resembles a joke sometimes. And yeah, I felt a connection
to him,
to how we're both sarcastic. We're both always making jokes. We don't say our true feelings. We just laugh about it, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't find that connection with many other book characters. So in the beginning, I thought, hey, I found a character that actually stands up and kind of represents me in a way.
Yeah.
But then came Nazira, and I'm like, oh, but she's badass. I love myself a badass.
If I am in this novel, I think I might be Nazira.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
You are? I think I would be Warner.
The way you overthink.
The overthinking.
And analyze. And,
and everything. And thinking yeah. he's protecting someone when he's actually hurting them. And it's like this idea of, I don't know, he's such a complex character. You know, he has so many levels to him.
He's got layers.
Yeah, he's got layers.
Deepness, deep.
Very,
very deep. That's me. Hi, I'm Nesma. I'm very deep.
No, what I like about Nazira, it's not because she's badass and stuff. I think her situation, she has this rebellious nature in her. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I'm like, I like to be not visible and, you know, I like to just...
But you are a rebel. You're definitely a rebel.
I'll just take that corner in the back of the classroom. No one bother me, please.
Yeah. I mean, yes, true. I don't like conflict. Anyway, now we go into the plot and the changes that happened.
Oh my god.
Yes, and like the moments and scenes, and let's go.
Okay, who's gonna start?
Where do we start, you mean?
That's this question.
Oh my god.
I mean, the first thing that I found very confusing from the changes in the plot and everything was Juliet's name changing from Juliet to Ella.
Seriously, of all names, it's Ella.
I mean, like Ella.
Not necessarily the name itself, but it's just throughout all the books, we got used to her being called Juliet. Okay, and suddenly it's... All this is gonna change, like, you know, it's just...
But I mean, after you knew that Werner's father, Anderson, chose that name for her as, like, setting her to be a tragic person, you still want her to be that. The whining, annoying person, Juliet.
I don't know. I mean, the name Juliet is much more beautiful than Ella.
And you love Romeo and Juliet.
I do love Romeo and Juliet. So I have a personal connection to the name. But, I mean, by the way, if you think about it now, the reference of the name Juliet can actually mean destined for tragedy or destined to fall or the whole...
Both of them?
No, not both of them. I mean, his plan, the reason why he called her Juliet is because... And the traditional story, Juliet dies, okay? Mm-hmm. And Juliet, in a way, is a naive little girl who falls in love instantly and doesn't think about it and irrationally, and then she kills herself. And maybe he intentionally did that because he used her for her powers, in a way, and she was a silly little girl, and she kept falling in love with Warner over and over again. So I guess the reference of the name is kind of genius, if you ask me.
Okay. I'm not asking.
Isn't it?
No
one agrees with me.
Your conspiracy theories really tickle something in me.
Okay. Is that a good thing?
Honestly, I don't know what... Maybe... That's all I can say. Yeah, maybe. It would make sense in a parallel universe.
Okay,
you're
blabbering. I mean, you just said you don't like the name Ella.
Yeah, but I do like the name, not because of anything, but yeah, we already got used to her as Juliet. She's our Juliet.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you when it comes to that. Ella... I don't know, it doesn't even suit the personality that's her, that she became, you know? I feel if you transition the name from Julia to anything, it would be a tougher name. I don't have any examples because I'm not going to be choosing names right now.
Okay. Type. But her and Maffy, this thing where she kept going back into their memories and... making us see this young girl who's named Ella, and then we know Juliet, but then we think of her as Ella, the young girl who grew up to be the person we know as Juliet, you know?
Now you're just confusing me.
Yeah, I wasn't confused up until this point.
No, I think, look, what could have convinced me or what could have eased me into the idea of calling her Ella is the fact that they never remove the name Ella from the novel. I mean, Juliet. You know, in each chapter, they cross out the name Juliet and then they write Ella underneath. Mm-hmm. At one point, it should have only been Ella, you know?
Hmm. Even Kenji.
It should have been at one point where she identifies herself as Ella, the name Juliet, even crossed out, should be gone. Hmm. You know what I mean? Because then I could be on the page, okay, the name Juliet is gone, but it's still there. It's crossed out.
No, it's part of her story.
But
the tragedy that has been happening to her for a couple of years now, falling in love with her mate and then having that removed from her and then falling in love again and then, I don't know, going into...
Okay, I mean, if the name Juliet is part of the journey, and why cross it out then? It should be then Juliet / Ella.
Thing is,
not cross it out.
Yes.
Not like, cross it out.
A lot of people have two names, especially here in our culture in Egypt. Like,
yeah, that's, you know, that's true.
But at the end, she did say, "Call me Ella. Don't call me Juliet."
Well, Kenji still called her Juliet till the end of the book. Jay, it's Jay.
I mean, it's like, I guess she would accept it from other people. If they are not used to calling her Ella and they still want to call her Juliet, she would accept and leave them call her Juliet. But as herself, she identifies herself as Ella. Because she knows...
Maybe she sees Juliet as a broken person. She doesn't want to be that person anymore. Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, let's change the subject. We've been on the subject for too long. What else was in the plot that struck you or that was very... shocking or you loved?
Well,
or...
okay, can we talk about the chapter where Werner is in prison and he's waiting, he's been measuring the footsteps and he realizes he knows those footsteps before they approach and ta-da, it's his father. And then he kills his father. And next thing you know, his father's still alive. The shock I was in, oh my god.
I know. Like, that was one of the most memorable scenes in the novel because it's just, think about this, what we went through in Ignite Me, okay? Oh my gosh. Think about what we went through in Restore Me, how it broke Juliet's and Warner's relationship just because Juliet killed Warner's father. How much crap they had to go through to stabilize their relationship again. And then breaking up, and then at the end, he's still alive?
Breaking alive? Is that a recurring nightmare?
Why doesn't he die? He doesn't die!
Has 8 lives.
And the thing is, the whole thing was just messed up, like kids killing their parents. What is wrong with the world?
Yeah, that was so...
That was a little too far.
A little?
Uh-huh. But I mean... Yeah, I mean... She's still her mother, and he's still his father. But I mean, like, Ella's mom and her father, they treated
her as... They're monsters. We can't disagree.
They're not treating them as children. They're treating them as...
Objects.
Objects and products they produced and, like, experiments. They're not motherly or fatherly, خالصين.
Yeah, I totally understand. But it was a little bit too much to take in. But I think I loved the book for how untraditional and how revolutionary or what can we say?
How out of the box.
Yeah.
Yes.
You wouldn't expect that at all. Like, this book didn't promise you, hey, you'll be shocked because guess what? Guess who kills who, you know? But
when you know, the thing that I found very... interesting when I first started the series was how political the story actually was. Mm-hmm. If you think about it now, it moved into a entirely different direction. Like, it went from political to just narration of characters.
And family problems and dramas.
Yeah. That's one thing that we actually lost from the series. Like, we know that the story is taking place in America. in America, the reestablishment, and we know that something happened to the world, and the world changed, and it's not the way it used to be.
Oh, yeah, the plot twist! Yes, the plot twist!
Where everything is happening really in people's minds! Oh my god,
yes,
that was
her sister!
That was the moment.
What was her name?
Emmeline. No, we have to check that. Oof. You can pause. Yeah, the plot twist with Emmeline was truly shocking.
Shocking is the least you could describe it.
Like,
yeah.
all that Juliet had described in her cell, there are no birds anymore, the planet is dying.
The world is ugly.
Everything, it was all an illusion.
I know, mind-blowing, honestly.
That's more shocking than Warner's father being still alive.
Right? Like, when I was reading this part, I remember I just dropped the book, looked at myself in the mirror, because, yeah, I do have a mirror across from me, because that's where I read, and I just didn't even realize what I was doing. I'm like, what did I just read? And I just look at myself, and I see how much in shock I am, and I'm like, who is she? Because I looked so different when I was shook, and I even went to my mom, and I'm like, why did this happen? And my mom was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, the book, Mom, why did this happen? And she's like, I don't know. Stuff happens.
This is the way of life, my girl.
Yeah. You'll grow up and you'll understand. I'm like, Mom, I'm 21.
I know how this goes. Yeah. This book just took it to a whole nother level.
This book destroyed me.
Yeah. Oh. I can't wait for Imagine Me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times we
you
can
know
say that.
I was so scared of Emmeline when I heard that she Juliet had a sister and they've been torturing her. I thought she was going to be
evil.
The next villain,
right?
Yes, and she's going to make Juliet's life 10 times harder, and that's bad. Then you conflict, you know. But she
really,
turned out
you
to
thought
be
Emmeline was gonna be evil,
the villain, yes, the next villain or whatever. I don't know.
I mean, I never thought of her as a threat. I actually thought of her as the victim. I thought in the novel they would save her and help her and find her and make her better again. But when I heard that she's been tortured for how many freaking years, I thought, no, there's no way to save her. I already, like, lost hope, actually, that before I even started reading the novel, when we found out that she's been hidden for so many years and been tortured all along, I was actually scared of what we would find, you know? Mm-hmm. Would we even find a human being at the end?
But that
what
would scare me. What
if the last shred of humanity that we find in her is gone?
And thus she's a villain, you know? She would, I don't know, they would be like saving her and she would lash out at them and be a danger to them, you know? I don't know. I thought about that.
That was actually been of a good plot, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And the idea, I keep saying that, but the idea of falling in love with each other over and over and over again, that's, I don't know.
Oh, Warner and Ella?
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really love that.
It's like a wave and the beach.
Why did I have a deja vu when I read that? People
what?
Falling in love over and over again?
It was in another book?
Something in a movie that I've seen, or I can't remember, something I've like seen something like it before.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read the book and I like found out about this information, I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like they truly belong
and
together.
Like Warner having this revelation, I want this girl forever and wanting to marry her. That was I mean, what? You know, I actually had a thought. Why didn't he want to marry her from day one? So that would be more
convenient.
Not convenient. Like, we can relate to it more, you know, as Muslims,
from our culture.
Yes, you know.
From our culture? I mean, I guess, yeah, but
they destroyed religion in the book, so.
No, they did destroy the religion.
Yeah, so
it's not that. I don't know. Something about them made me feel like maybe because they go way back from their childhood, so maybe it made me feel, you know, then خلاص, they're at that point where they, yeah, they should marry and then be together. You know? I don't know.
They've waited so long.
I mean, there is one thing that I want to address about this marriage thing. Why, in my eyes, marriage does not suit Warner. Is it just me?
No, it's not just you.
It doesn't suit him. Why? It doesn't suit him at all.
He would be such a good husband.
Would he?
No.
Yes, he would.
He was a crappy boyfriend.
Yeah, a husband that keeps secrets. Wow.
But that's in the past now.
Nuh-uh.
I don't know. It's just...
You're ganging up on me.
By the way, I was so disappointed in Werner's acts. While I was reading, I was like, Werner... We don't do that. Boy, no, go tell her. Go tell her. And honestly, I was pissed at most of the times while reading about Werner. That's why I was like, why is he such a teenage boy, you know?
Yeah.
And seeing the transition from Restore Me to Defy Me, yeah, okay, at the end, I'm starting to, okay, like him again.
Yeah.
But what he's done in Restore Me, I was like, boy... What? Yeah, that's it.
In Restore Me, he screwed up bad.
So bad.
He screwed up bad.
Yeah.
But it's just...
I mean, he's not a normal person. He grew up...
He grew up a broken person. I know. But still, I don't know. The idea of marriage doesn't even fit into the novel, because for us, I know it was an illusion and everything, but the world in our heads is broken. Everything was destroyed, there's destruction everywhere, and it's like the planet Earth is in danger and everything, but where does marriage fit into that, you know?
I feel like they stuffed it in there.
You know, it kind of reminds me of when Katniss said that she would never want to marry or give or have a child. You know, in the Hunger Games, because of, like, the system and, like, the... What were they called again?
The districts.
The districts. In the districts and everything, in the division of the people, she always said that she would never want to have children in a world like that, you know? And
which
it's just,
Selma relates to.
I totally relate to.
And we're not going to talk about that here.
No, we're not.
This is a book podcast. And... So the idea of Warner and Juliet getting married is just, I don't know. It's just,
it feels forced, so forced.
No. You know what it feels to me? It's like, now they remember that they have been separated so many times. They want this bond that won't, like, nobody can break that, you know?
Yeah.
It's there in front of the world. We are together. You know?
I mean, that's exactly what marriage is. But I never saw it coming, you know? It was never on his mind. It was never there before. Why should it be now?
But the moment he realized that, there was this line of thought in Nahoa. He wants her forever. He doesn't want to lose her.
But it was in one chapter, and it was at the end of the chapter. It was just like one paragraph, you know? It wasn't a buildup of chapters to the idea.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It could have been in the cell, for example. He could have been like, I feel so alone without her. I can't live without her. And then, like, in the next chapter, I can't lose her again. I need her. And then the next chapter is like, how can I keep her with me forever? How do I make her mine? How do I show people that she belongs to me and no one else? And then in the chapter after that, he could have said, I'll marry her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, build me up to this, resolution.
Me.
Yeah. Prepare me for the idea. Don't just blurt it out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna marry this girl. You know, like, it's just,
I don't know. I like that.
I never knew that Warner had marriage, that he even considered marriage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never even thought that he liked the idea of marriage.
You know, Kenji said something to Warner about his broken relationship with Ella, Juliet, No, it's not a problem you can fix. Or someone told him something about that. And no, it's not something you can fix or solve. It's just, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen like that. And he's someone who finds problems and fixes them with solutions. So maybe that was a solution to him, which is unromantic. But
your marriage?
Yeah.
I didn't like the idea because I personally thought that, Warner was just turning 20. Juliet is 2 years younger. What, you want to marry an 18-year-old girl?
No, it's not about the age.
It's okay, not about
I'm
the
not
age.
Talk about, I'm talking about the age. It's just the idea of marriage itself. Where did it come from all
yeah,
of a sudden?
Yeah, and I don't feel like they're prepared for that, Aslan.
Yeah.
You know, no, they're so
not.
Underprepared.
They're not prepared.
And they're about to be the rulers of the world. They're supposed to be taking over something. And he's thinking of marriage. And I'm pretty sure the girl is freaking out. But
and
turns out, no, she's not freaking out.
She's thinking of birthdays.
Oh, she's thinking of birthdays. But he's thinking far ahead. Uh-uh. He wants marriage. A birthday won't do.
Oh, that surprise party they made for him. And he was so skeptical about it a lot. Me?
My birthday?
Why do you... Why, you know, no, he was so angry about it. I think, I don't remember. He was,
yeah. No, I didn't think he would actually like it, you know, because Warner doesn't like surprises. You know, he's more of a kind of guy, he likes to see when something's coming ahead of him, you know?
Yeah.
But he actually liked it.
Yeah.
You know? He was happy. And I like how Kenji and Warner at the end, like... were harmonic and
I love
and
their dynamic. Oh my god.
And like now we have like a what's it called? How do they call it? Like a bromance. Bromance. Thank you. Now we have a bromance. Woohoo! They hated each other. That was funny too.
Yes.
When they hated.
That was funny.
I think that's how all girl friendships start. You hate each other's guts and then, oh, we're best friends.
That's basically how it starts, yes.
Yeah. But then it's happening with guys, so it's awesome.
Yeah.
Guys are so weird.
I know. But that's for another podcast, my friends.
Yes, that's right. And I would like to thank Salma, our friend over here,
yes,
for joining us for this episode.
For being with us.
Oh, thank you, girls. I'm happy to be here.
We loved you in this episode, and we loved what you had to say, really.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I think we should have you more often.
I'd love to, gladly.
Okay.
Tell us, guys, if you want her more in the podcast.
Oh, I hope you guys are waiting for Imagine Me as we are, so we're not alone. And maybe read the novella before this one comes out. There's The Shadow Me that you girls haven't read.
Oh, we have
and
to read
there's
well.
Another one.
It's
yes.
Reveal Me?
Reveal Me
or something? Me. I don't
or
know.
Or the book was Reveal Me of the two novels.
Yeah.
Huh.
Something like. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this episode.
And that's a wrap.
And that's a wrap for this episode. We hope you come and join us in the next one, hopefully. And we'll see you there.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for making it to the end of this chapter. We hope you enjoyed this conversation about Defy Me. Let us know if you want Salma to join us more often on our podcast. For next chapter, we continue on with the theme of series and we'll pick up the third novel in the A Court of Thorns and Roses series, A Court of Wings and Ruin. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We post every second Monday. My name is Nesma. Mark the page for chapter 13.